Good afternoon, rather. Good afternoon, good evening, and God bless. Welcome to The Woman at the Well, hosted by me, Beverly Black, with my guest, Janelle Sine. She would correct me if I said that wrong when I bring her on the line. But this is going to be an hour of power, inspiration, and we're going to be discussing faith, empowerment, health, and wellness. And I said an hour because I want to do a part two because Beverly Holloway had to step away. She turned on those stilettos and went and handled her business. And so we're going to welcome her back when she finishes with that. And that date and time will be announced later. We've got to check her schedule. But let me tell you about the other half. Yes, I said the other half of the new radio show that is coming in July. Yes, this month will be the debut, all right, the debut of Choosing Inspiration, hosted by my current guest, Janelle Sine, and Beverly Holloway. So we're looking forward to them debuting. I was going to say dropping. I'm so used to, as a book publisher, people dropping books. But we're so excited about Choosing Inspiration debuting on July 19th here live on Tribe Family Channel. I want to shout out our sponsor, Genius is Common. Bruce George, the creative visionary behind Genius is Common, is our sponsor, and we would like for you to visit his website at geniusiscommon.com and express your genius. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Janelle Nevera Sine. She is a transformational life coach. Janelle's coaching style is direct and full of compassion. So, in other words, she doesn't play, but she embraces you. Her vision is to influence individuals to explore their consciousness to achieve optimal health on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. Now, Beverly Holloway is going to be joining us at another date, but she's a healing arts practitioner, spiritual transformation, and transition coach at Inspirational Life and Wellness. She is the CEO of Sacred Sisters Inspirational Network, and she's the CEO at Inspirational Life and Wellness, LLC. These two women, again, will comprise the team, the tag team, Choosing Inspiration, dropping or debuting July 19th. And so, without further ado, welcome Janelle to The Woman at the Well. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for the warm introduction and welcome. And yes, you did say that correctly, Janelle Sine. That is the correct pronunciation. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't mess that up. That's a beautiful name. And so
thank you.
I want to welcome you. Yes, I want to welcome you here as we were discussing in the green room during sound check. We're both very hot right now. I'm in California. Janelle is in Arizona. It's 95 here in Arizona. I know she doesn't feel sorry for me, but
not really. We are in at 115 right now. We're looking at 115.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we were there about last week. We were at 113, 100. Ooh. No, I take that back. No, we were at 105, 103, 104, stuff like that.
Yes, hot. After yeah, 110, it's just hot.
Girl, come on now. So for our listeners around the globe, again, welcome to The Woman at the Well, live on Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel is part of the Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created by myself. Now, Janelle and I are going to be talking about three basic subjects, faith, business, and also health and wellness. So we have five questions in the first category. And, you know, Janelle, you can be as transparent as you like. You know, this is about your truth. As you know, the woman at the well, she gave a testimony and many were saved, as it so says in the Bible. And so at some point, my own faith was put on trial, and I'll tell you about that when we get down to a later bullet point. But testimonial in that sense. So we're going to talk about faith, and I want to know, what does faith mean to you? What does faith mean to you?
Faith to me would mean whatever entity, whatever belief, whatever spiritual connection it is to you have, faith is what gets you through your hard times. Faith is what you hold on to when you have absolutely nothing else there is to hold on to. So not to knock anyone's, because everyone is different, to each his own. So whatever gets you through that darkest day, whatever gets you through that storm, is what faith is to me. It keeps you going when you have no other choice.
All right. So now, when did you choose your faith and why? And I'll explain this question. It is my belief that we are born into our specific faith, doctrine, religion, whatever you'd like to call it, because of our inherit family dynamics. We're taught by our family members, whoever has faith or the lack of. We acquiesce to what we're born into. My grandmother was Catholic. I didn't become Catholic, but she was the gateway to how I found out about God, because she was a praying woman and she read her Bible daily. And so I realized in being with her and walking and talking that there existed God. That was my introduction. I was born mm-hmm. into that. So I asked that, I prefaced, when did you choose your faith and why? Because when we grow up and we decide that we know for ourselves, like I said, my grandmother was Catholic, but I did not become Catholic. So I chose my own path. When did you choose your own path and your faith, and why? How did that come about if you didn't go with what you were born into?
I would definitely have to say, when it all, getting all down to it, I have always been one that has marched to the beat of my own drum. I was raised by both of my parents, my father, Rabbi Capers Ferney, being a black rabbi. So the synagogue temple was mandatory every Sabbath, every Saturday. That's where I spent my Saturdays. It was kind of hard growing up explaining a little couple of times why we did not watch television on Friday evenings, or why I could not go to the sleepover on Friday evening because I had to attend services on Saturdays. So being raised as a Jew, is what I practiced and what I was, I don't want to say forced, because it wasn't a force. It was my parents doing what they felt they needed to do as far as grounding their children in some form of religion. I not only went to the temple on Saturdays, I lived in the house with my grandmother for a few years. So I would go to church with my grandmother. I would go to church with my maternal grandmother as well as my paternal grandmother. So religion is something, organized religion is something that I have definitely been exposed to. I've had friends of the Muslim faith. I've had friends of the Buddhist faith. I've had friends, my youngest son's family are Jehovah's Witnesses. So I've been exposed to quite a few faiths. Being that I have always questioned not necessarily the Bible, but things that were taught to me, traditions for the most part,
those never really all the way sat well with me. So I went along with things that I was raised to do because that's what I was to do. I was supposed to do. Once I became of age where I could make the decision where I did not necessarily have to go to the temple anymore, I chose not to go. Not necessarily out of defiance, more so out of respect. To me, if you're not sitting there concentrating or being there in that moment with the Creator and being in that moment with the other congregants, and that's what's on your mind, you're disrespecting that house of the Creator, that holy place. So if that's not on your mind, to me, you shouldn't be sitting in that space. So I didn't
come on now. That's for any faith.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's for any faith. You know, you're taking up space.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
It wasn't necessarily defiance. It was more so, to me, I felt it was disrespectful for me to sit there and take up that space.
All right.
A couple of years ago, I would say I finally got to the point where I was okay with not following the tradition that I was raised to follow. And it's not to say that religion is bad. Just for me, religion is not what keeps me grounded. Religion is not what keeps my faith. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a firm believer in a higher power. I'm a firm believer in God. I'm a firm believer in energy. That's more so of what I operate on. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I believe what you put out there, you will get back. That's my religion. That's my spirituality. I don't feel like you have to be in a group of people to talk to God. I have my own connection with that, my Creator, and I have my own relationship. And it's gotten me these 40 years, so I'm doing something okay.
Oh, you're doing absolutely the right thing. Okay, I mean, you better preach, my sister, preach, because it is about your personal relationship with God, and I'm telling you, if you're waiting for a congregation to be right, think right, and act right in order for you to have a perfect relationship with God, you're going to miss the mark, because,
absolutely.
And a good friend of mine, he's passed on now, but I have to shout out a good childhood friend. His name, he's passed on, was Daryl Vinegar. And we were talking on the phone one day about church. And I said, you know what, Daryl, I don't go to church, you know, do this, do that, and the other. He said, you know what, somebody told me a long time ago, he told me that someone told him a long time ago that if you go into the church and there's nothing wrong, you're in the wrong church. Okay. So you're not going to find a perfect church, a perfect congregation, a perfect people. But what you can do is perfect your own relationship with God, and you don't have to worry about whether you're congregating in a church, whether they're right, whether they're wrong, whether they're this, whether they're that, whether they agree with you or disagree with you, whether, you know, they're Baptist, Jehovah's Witness, rabbis, Catholic, Hindu, whatever. You know,
absolutely.
You can be one with God in your own walk and relationship. So I agree
absolutely.
With you wholeheartedly, my sister, on that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Beverly Black and Janelle Finney on The Woman at the Well, and she is bringing it. So let me ask you, what single moment in your life most greatly challenged your faith?
What single moment greatly challenged my faith? I would have to say the moment of me realizing that mental illness is not something that has to define your life, and that happened about 4 years ago. I was in a situation, and I'm extremely transparent. Anyone that knows me knows I have no problem with talking about my life. I am an open book, and I have been that way my entire life. But I had gotten to a very dark space in my life. I had gotten to a very dark energy. And at that point, it was a question of what would be easier. what would be easier, what decision could I make that would make all of it end. And at that moment, I had to question not only my faith, but myself and say, you know, is this necessarily something that you have to do, or is this something that you want, a pain that you're trying to stop? Let's explore that. So
So now are you telling me that you were contemplating suicide?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's what I thought I just heard.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I wanted to be very, very clear.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very direct with that. And I appreciate you.
Very direct. Yes, ma'am. This was a point where I, not even saying, okay, I can just live this, to the point where I have two sons. Their well-being was not enough to cover that darkness, to bring that light out. So that dark space that I was in, it took nothing but faith and nothing but a true conversation with myself to say, are you unhappy for some things that you have done? Are you unhappy? What is it that's causing you to be unhappy? And for so long, you don't have an answer. When you're in that space, you don't know. Any and everything can look creamy and peachy as pie on paper to anyone, but emotionally and mentally and physically, there's something inside that is just not ticking right. And it takes the strength for you to look at yourself, or I will say with me, it took the strength for me to reach out to my father and for him to tell me to say, you know, you talking to me is letting me know that that's not what you want. You want the pain to stop, but that's not what you want. So go and talk to someone. Not only did that going and talking to someone make me take some self-inventory and understand that I was letting outside forces control my peace. So me questioning my faith at that point, I had to take a step back and realize realistically what was going on and not my perception as to what was going on. Would the Creator really put these things here to harm you, or these choices that you made yourself to bring these things upon? Even with things that I couldn't control, I had to look at them differently. I had to look at that, change my perspective on things, and I had to realize that the universe, God, the Creator, whatever being it is that you have faith in, what did not put you here to suffer, did not put you here to feel bad, did not put you here to feel guilt. Everyone's right is to be happy, and that's a choice. So I had to take that self-inventory and put my faith ahead of that and say, you know, God wouldn't do that. So if God isn't going to do that, why am I looking at it like this? I had to change my perspective. I had to reevaluate my connection, reevaluate my thought process on everything. And that was a point where I had to, my faith was questioned. And it not only was that the lowest point, but that was the best and most invigorating point in my life.
So it was the lowest point with the greatest revelation.
Exactly.
Now, I want to thank you for still being here to be able to tell your story. I want to thank you for working through the pain. I want to thank God for you. I want to thank your father for talking to you. I'm a daddy's girl. My father's only son committed suicide when I was 17 years old, my only brother, and my world was completely changed, changed. And the mental turmoil that left me with made my whole world void of any sense of normalcy. I felt like everything was wrong with me. I felt like everything was wrong with me, that there was something that I could have said, could have did, But then I felt like all of the outside people, because the inside family went back to dealing with everything, everyday life in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But at my young, tender age, I'm the baby in the family. They really didn't check in to say, are you good inside? Because on the outside, you're this facade of a sense of normalcy should appear and act like. But on the inside,
mm-hmm.
you're torn, broken, confused, and everything's in turmoil. And I had butterflies in my stomach, and I could not feel a sense of being settled at peace at all for years. And so I have not launched anything with regards to suicide prevention, but there is an imminent interview that will be on my network from someone that has an organization that is a suicide prevention organization, and she actually attempted suicide and has gone through depression. But out of your response, it made me want to ask you this. Did you ever during that period of time to bring about that feeling that you had to fight and struggle through with, you know, maintaining your life? Did you ever place your happiness upon someone else? Did you ever place the responsibility of your happiness upon someone else?
That was the entire cause of me not being at peace. That's the entire bottom line. When you try to live your life, yes. When you try to live your life according to how you think someone thinks you should be, that's the big, a huge issue with our community, perception, and what we think someone mm-hmm. else thinks.
And then some of us got to the age where we just don't give a
And you get to that age, when you get that freedom.
I'm completely free at this point. I'm 58 years old.
Is the freedom
okay.
that
Ooh,
finding your
honey.
Peace gets you to when you can look at when you can make a decision or when you can tell someone no. Or when you can set a boundary, or when you can know your own limits and
Come
you are
now.
Comfortable and you have given yourself permission to be okay with
mm-hmm.
that, to say, you know
mm-hmm.
what, I will not allow you to take me to that dark spot. I will not allow you to misinterpret, to disrupt, to take away my peace. I will remove myself from that situation. Bless you. I'll be cordial, but you will not take this from me. You get to a point where, I know for me, it was to a point where I had been in that dark space for so long, I'll be damned if I'm going to let somebody else take me back there, if I won't allow myself to do it. I will not allow anyone else to do it. And that's one of the things that I coach around so strongly. Anybody that knows, I'm forever telling somebody, you are the only person that controls your peace.
Amen, amen. Well, that's what I had a sense of, that perhaps living, doing, and operating in certain areas of your life was predicated upon, you know, trying to, you know, bring the happiness of, you know, family life or whatever into the picture. And, you know, I learned... you know, that for me, I learned to take time to please Beverly. Now I'm just, I got it so bad now. All right, now I'm 2 years from 60, so I'm not dying any gray hair. Okay, these youngsters these days, oh, no, baby, I need you to see this gray, okay, because I need you to see just what type of, what I can bring, okay? I'm bringing this experience, okay, and, you know, I don't play. I do not play. I have been through too much in my life. I'm a survivor of, you know, sibling that committed suicide. So, you know, the pain was immense. My depression ran deep. And, you know, you would never know that as you carry on through life that the root goes all the way back there, but it truly does.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it
definitely
goes back. And people, you know, they don't like to talk about their past. Well, guess what? You know what? Well, then don't talk about mine either, okay? Because
exactly.
I bring mine. Mine is right here, okay? A Wretch
exactly.
Like Me, From Crack Addict to Change Agent. That's my last book, A Wretch
exactly.
Like Me. From Crack
And that's a taboo,
Addict.
You know, and that's a big taboo in our community. It's mental illness and just the everyday stress of everyday life. It,
mm-hmm.
We are conditioned to think that we have to be this superficial, artificial superwoman that can take on everything and nothing
right.
stresses us and we can handle it. And you're a black woman and you do this and you do that. You are a human being before you are anything, superwoman. So you cannot give from an empty vessel. That is something else that I'm always saying. I don't care what job it is, from a nurse to a janitor to changing someone's pampers. If you are not at peace with yourself, you cannot help whoever it is you're trying to help.
You know where that superwoman mentality carrying 50 bushels of cotton a day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You think about the things that are ingrained in us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the landscape, the layout of the landscape, okay? So as you're coming up, if you need any type of assistance, the man can't be in the home, okay? So we got to
mm-hmm.
divide you from the family. He's got to be a
mm-hmm.
weaker, ostracized vessel. The children got to grow up without a daddy in order for you to get any type of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Beans, rice, peanut butter, and a block of cheese that's going to clog your arteries and your behind. But we're going to separate
exactly.
your home. It's systemic, and it's by design. Now,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be a strong woman. Women's liberation comes out. Okay.
Yep.
Now, you know, we've got.
You don't need a man.
You know,
you can do it yourself now.
You don't need a man. Come on. So now you got the family divided. Okay. Now you mad at him for not being there. Okay. Because
yep.
you're lugging these bags. You're not a superwoman. This and that and the other. So it's systemic because if we truly amass our royalness on this planet, girl, do you know they will be bowing?
Mm-hmm.
So
I
they have to ostracize, kill, steal, rob, destroy, you know, rape, murder, crossbreed things to diminish. Now, is that a knock at the door?
That's not for me. That's my son. You're fine.
Well, tell them I said hi. We hear them. We hear them. Hey, see, I told you we keep it real right here on the Well, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Beverly Black and Janelle Fanae, and we are keeping it real here on Tribe Family Channels, The Woman at the Well, sponsored by Genius is Common. And Janelle is one half of a radio show that will be debuting on July 19th. And so I want you to stay tuned for the shout out. I want you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. And then you'll be able to connect with us and see when Choosing Inspiration sends out that invite so that you can join the show for July 19th debut show with Janelle Fanae and her other half, Beverly Holloway, who will be joining us at another time to discuss faith business and also health and wellness. So we're coming to the bottom of this hour, and I'm going to skedaddle up a little bit into the questions. And I want to ask you, I know how important spiritual wellness is to you. So I recently found myself on the fence of my faith, okay, which prompted a deeper study into God's word. And I want to know, what books would you recommend for people to find their chosen path when it comes to, when it comes to being strengthened as a spiritual being? I don't believe in religion. I believe in spirituality. And how can you find your spirituality with so many conflicting religions? And so it goes back to, like we were speaking before, about having that relationship with God. But for someone that may have been reading the King James Version of the Bible and has learned that there is a Kemet Bible and that there are earlier interpretations of God's words long, 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 long before King James's Version, what types of books would you recommend to further enlighten people?
To be honest, what I'm reading right now or what I'm researching right now is the Tanakh, and that's because that's what I was raised and have been looking into. I don't really have a book that I will recommend as far as finding your spirituality is concerned. To me, that's like a personal journal, a journey to me as far as where you – where I would start or what I would recommend, or a book that I always refer a lot of my clients to, is a book called The Question. It's a book by Debbie Ford. Let me run back downstairs and get it. But what it is a book of questions that you ask yourself, not necessarily on a daily basis. But
something to ponder in life, basically.
On a consistent basis where you're keeping yourself in check for the most part. You're making sure that you're not living your life based on what someone else wants you to do. You're asking yourself these questions and making sure that, like, one of the main questions in this book, I'm so mad that I can't find this book right now. One of the main questions in that book.
We'll have you come back on the show.
One of the main questions in that book is, is your action that you're taking, are you taking that action? Is that something that is something for you, or are you taking that action to please someone else?
Come on now, or is it out of revenge? Stuff like that, right? You know,
exactly.
You really
it's asking you, is this action something that's going to propel you, or is this something that is going to hinder you? Here it is. The name of the book is The Right Questions. And it's by Debbie Ford.
Who is it by? The Right Question by who?
The Right Question by Debbie Ford.
Now, is this? I'm thinking about someone else. Okay. All right. Well, tell us a couple of the questions that highlight your interest the most. What would you recommend we ask? Because I want our listeners to have this Rice referral that you're recommending in The Right Question by Debbie Ford. I want them to take away something for those that may go out and get the book or may not, to get a gem from you on that note.
The most powerful question to me, I can word it correctly now. Am I standing in my power, or am I trying to please another? That is a question to me that is a powerful, powerful question. Am I standing in my power, or am I trying to please another? That all stems around the whole you living for other people. That goes to another thing that I'm always preaching to people. Well, now that I'm always preaching to people, because I'm able to do so and I'm able to see what comes with it, I encourage people to explore your consciousness and to find what is your true passion in life. That is going to be your why. That is going to be your purpose. That is what's going to make you want to get out of the bed in the morning, even when you don't feel like it. And once you find that and you begin to walk in it blindly with as much faith as you have and then some, you will be amazed at what opens to you. Amazed
indeed
at what opens to you. So to get to that point, you have to explore yourself. You have to learn yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to take care of yourself. And learning yourself, you'll be able to forgive yourself for some things that you've done in the past. You'll be able to look at some things that you had a different perspective on and say, you know, is that really how that was, or am I interpreting that the wrong way?
Right.
How can
exactly
this work out in my, you know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
That's
you'll
why
stop sabotaging things.
Yourself. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And women have that bad.
Oh, you, woo, girl,
we have
girl,
it
girl.
Bad.
We ain't going to even go into that, okay? Because there has been, I mean, come on. You know, you can't even, people have this, I don't know, this judgment or this, you know, we're so emotional. People are such emotional creatures that when you don't check those emotions and you don't ask those right questions, you know, people tend to pop off. They're like, boom, instantaneous. Okay, this is not social media. We have to discuss. We need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get to the root of it. We can't just pop. Like, dislike, hate, mad face, heart. You know, you got to get to the root and not be so quick to respond with such a high intensity of emotions. We're living in an
impulsive
age where people, their fuse is short. If they have a
extremely
fuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I hear you with that. So
mm-hmm.
thank
and that,
you.
This,
the book.
This, you're more than welcome.
Go ahead.
That is a very, this book has a one of the very first, one of the very first things that it mentions, the first chapter, is the moment of choice. And
the moment of what?
The moment of choice.
The
moment
of choice.
We have,
I love that.
Mm-hmm, we have to come to the realization that we make the decision to let something, one incident, turn the rest of our day into a bad day. That's a decision that we choose. Happiness
Come
is
on.
Not a journey. Happiness is not something that someone can give to you. Happiness is not something that you are about to buy. It is a choice. It is a daily choice. And it's not always hard, but it's a choice. That's not always easy. I'm sorry. It's not always easy, but it's a choice. And that's one of the very, that's the very first chapter of this thing, and it's this book, and it's the moment of choice. And once we realize that we have that power to control that and accept that and are and willing to do the things that we need to do, the breath of fresh air that you'll breathe once you get to that moment is overpowering.
Mm. The weight is lifted. You're refreshed.
Extremely.
Wow.
Extremely.
Wow.
And when I tell you this is coming from someone who was an extremely impulsive person, this is someone who would sit in the parking lot of her customer service job and cry for at least a half an hour because she was dreading going into this job. This is someone who has dealt with someone with a drug problem for years, trying to make that person happy because I have an internal thing where I've always just wanted people around me to be happy, whatever shape, form, or fashion that I needed to put myself in, whatever situation I needed to put myself in, I was going to make that person happy. Once I learned how to direct that energy correctly, I was able to, that's how I was able to start my Just Choose You.
Well, I'm so glad you started your Just Choose You and have just chosen yourself, because
know
you found out that you cannot please anybody, and everybody that
ma'am.
You tried to make happy, they pissed you off to the highest level of positivity,
yes.
I am sure. And so now Janelle knows unequivocally through her journey and is helping others to choose themselves as well. That is phenomenal,
ma'am.
Because that is something that is a lesson we all need to learn. You cannot please everyone. So
mm-mm.
why try to please anyone? How about I work with you while you're working with me, and we're going to both try to find some pleasure out of it. And if I see that you're one-sided, I'm gone. That's
exactly.
how that goes. You know, that's what I've grown to. Now, I'm not saying that I've never tried to please anyone, because I've
mm-hmm.
tried to please family members over anything. You know, of course, I went through the drug addiction, but when I came out of the drug addiction, there were people that really seemed to rather I were still dependent upon their decisions and their leadership. I'll put that lightly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so not realizing that the control, and it's control, okay? The minute people, you know, the minute you stop needing people's help, you know, they get an attitude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a quote. I'm a quotologist. My business partner of 10 years tomorrow, Mr. Bruce George, he is a master quotologist. But I wrote, I'll share two quotes. One quote is that everyone is hurting and healing from something. Everyone. So, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. That person is going through something. So people, you know, will play games and they will act as though they're, you know, completely tied together. You'll
mm-hmm.
find yourself trying to please someone that's not even happy with themselves. And the reason why you couldn't make them happy is because they're not happy with themselves. So everyone is hurting and healing from something, and that's why we can't please people, because if they're not working on the part of them that is hurting, we will never be able to make them happy, because we're not connected to the root of the unhappiness. One.
Yep.
The other quote, dang on it, did I forget the other quote? Ooh, I think I just forgot. Oh, the other quote is, I said, watch people getting bitter watching you get better. Think about
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right? Watch people getting bitter watching you get better. The better
get,
the more bitter people become, as though they want you to be needy, dependent, and always have a gripe. So,
misery loves company. That's
and
perfect.
There again
That's,
is that
mm-hmm.
that lack of happiness, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that lack of happiness.
Definitely.
So now the book, The Right Question by Debbie Ford, is available in paperback and ebook.
I'm not sure about ebook. I got mine off Amazon. Amazon. Do not go out here spending $30, $40. I think I paid maybe $2 or $3 for this book on Amazon. I am extremely frugal as well. So.
All right, now we're going to have
you
come back to our finance
money,
show.
I'm going to save you some money.
Amen to that. Well, you know, we have a show that will be launching Mr. Stephen Hutchinson on Tribe Family Channel called Financial Intelligence. So, you know, you may be able to come back and share some of those frugal tips for our listening audience, who I want to remind you are tuned into The Woman at the Well, and I am Beverly Black. I'm the creator of The Woman at the Well here live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, again, created by myself. And I'm speaking with Janelle. She is one of the two hosts of Choosing Inspiration that will be debuting July 19th. And so it is an honor to be speaking with her today. And our host or excuse me, our sponsor is Genius is Common. So visit geniusiscommon.com and express your genius. Now, thank you for answering that last question in the faith category. I'm going to move on to business as we wind up to the last 15 minutes of the show. And we cut this show short by a half hour because I want to save and offer another one-hour show in which Beverly and Janelle, or either Beverly Holloway, will come back, and then they'll both be on their own show July 19th. So in the business category, Janelle, how do you stay above the fray? I mean, just like you were talking earlier, how, you know, sisters, you know, there's not enough of our camaraderie. So when, you know, people are throwing shade and you're trying to progress forward and just the vicissitudes of life coming at you in general, you know, because we all go through something. Everyone is hurting and healing from something. But how do you stay above the fray?
I always tell myself, I don't know what that person is going through. I don't know how that person felt. I don't know what happened with that person's morning. I can't let that person's anger or hatred or shade or anything affect me. It doesn't have anything to do with me. That person has their own issues that they need to work through. Now, it has taken me, I'll say I'm 40, it has taken me a good 38 years.
Okay, I didn't get this until I was two. But I bet you I know now.
Now, I didn't get to learn that. It took me forever, and I still struggle with it. But I cannot let what other people think have any effect on me. So if you feel like my business is BS and you couldn't do it and, oh, you tell me all of that chakra stuff doesn't work, it doesn't work for you, and that's the universe letting me know you are not for me and I am not for you, and that's okay.
Huh.
That is okay.
And she gets said, goodbye, Felicia. Okay.
That is okay.
That is true.
Your hate and your discomfort with whatever it is that I'm doing is the universe's way of letting me know that my energy is not for you and your energy is not for me, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so that is a very good way of staying above the fray, is not attaching yourself to someone else's negativity, someone else's energy. I'm big on energy. Energy is everything. If there was anything you could teach your sons and daughters, it would be to pay attention to energy. And
yes.
And I always have and I always will. And so thank you for that. Now, let me ask you this. Let me grab my... get my computer a little closer to me over here. All right, so what is your source of direction and strength for sound thinking in a convoluted world? Now, we're not talking religion. We're not talking the faith category. We're now talking focus. So where do you focus to extrapolate your source of direction and strength as you look at this troubled world? It's so convoluted.
You know what? That is my strength. My desire to let people know that, let women know, women that have dealt with anxiety, women that have dealt with depression, women that are dealing with weight issues because of emotional eating and things like that. That is my strength. That is what pushes me, is to let them know that, guess what? I have been there, and I can tell you it is escapable. It is something that is not permanent, and you can definitely change it. That is what pushes me, because there are so many people that need that. There are so many people that need to hear you are not by yourself. You're not the only person going through this. You're not the only person that has cried in the shower this morning. You're not the only person that's sitting in your car crying right now. You're not the only person that's pissed off at your husband, that's mad at your kids. You're not the only one that has something that you cannot put your finger on, but something is making you mad. That's what drives me, is to get a hold to as many of those women that I can and show them the things that I use to make my life better, to make me better, to present myself better, and let them know that it is possible. It's not impossible. It is something that can be done. I don't promise rainbows and unicorns and ice cream every day.
Yeah, you have to bring your
right
own
tool.
Drink.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. With the right
You're not
tool,
providing
though,
all of that. Right.
Right. Though with the right tools, you can get through those things. Like, life is going to happen, and it's unavoidable. It's going to happen. But when you're prepared and when you're comfortable and when you're at peace, you handle things so much better. So that's what drives
me.
That's what pushes me.
I really, really have to salute you and congratulate you on your ministry, because when you think about it, who is doing what you are doing? You are telling people it's okay if you don't know why you're hurting. It's okay if you don't know why you have this feeling, why is this anxiety. We know the answer is always within you. But you are here to tell people it's okay not know the answer, and your ministry is to assist them to go inside and come back with the answer. And
yes,
so
ma'am.
I commend you for that. I commend you for that. And, you know, you just reminded me, I meant to I'll have to follow up with this conversation I had with a gentleman about a new show that we're having. But I was discussing Malik Yoba, and I'll just bring this up because I asked Malik Yoba about that scene that he did with Janet Jackson and Why Did I Get Married and the baby died. I said, where do you go inside of Malik Yoba to come back with that type of emotion? Okay, where do you go? And so it's always inside, whether you're acting it out, whether you're living it out in real life, it's inside. And you have the power to access that. But your ministry is there to help people with the tools to go forward to get to that core. So
yes, ma'am.
That's a demographic. You'll get on that because, see, that's a demographic that we don't think about. You know, we've got all
exactly.
the answers. Oh, I'm suffering from this and I'm suffering from that. Well, I can really see your ministry helping women suffering from postpartum depression, because I can see, you know, you're happy about the baby, you're happily married, you have a family, but you can't pinpoint why the tears and the emotions. Now that the baby is born, you thought everything was going to be okay, and it's not. Why is it? So that is something, girl, that's deep right there. That's a deep ministry that you're charged with. I want to thank you again for being here with me discussing this. As we wind down to the last few minutes of this hour that has been shortened, because we're going to do a part two to allow your partner in crime and counterpart, Beverly Holloway, to also be on The Woman at the Well. And, of course, you are a co-sponsor of The Woman at the Well, as well as Choosing Inspiration and Beverly Holloway. So we want to thank you for your sponsorship, and we want our listeners to know what can they expect from you coming down the pipeline. So this is where the things that you want to express about, you know, not only your show, we know that Choosing Inspiration, hosted by Janelle Fanay and Beverly Holloway, is dropping, debuting July 19th. But what else is coming down the pipeline with regards to your business, Just Choose You?
Just Choose You is actually up and running. Right now you can catch me at Just Choose You on Facebook for the most part. That's where I am conducting a lot of business as I'm putting together my website. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so that is what's holding me up. But I am in the process.
You know, we don't do words like that. You're not
you're
under development. You're not being held up. Don't go
exactly. You are exactly right. You are exactly
Yes,
you are exactly right. Thank you for that correction.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, I am extremely excited about the opportunity that you all have provided as far as choosing inspiration is concerned. What Beverly and I want to do and what my goal with my portion of that show is to do is for the past 2 years, I've been giving myself words for the year. Last year was abundance and manifestation. This year has been exposure. And it's pretty much getting my business exposed, exposing any type of things I want to work on myself personally, things like that. Last year was manifesting my business, coming into an abundance of ideas and things of that nature. So what our plan with the show is to use these last 5 months of the year to prepare our listeners for 2018, for them to take on 2018 head on with new goals, not resolutions, not New Year's resolutions that are going to be broken, but with goals and focuses and actual things that they want to get done, things that they have written down and commitments that they have made on that journey to a better health, mentally, physically, as well as spiritually. So that's what Choosing Inspiration is going to be doing. It's a series of self-help tutorials, things like that. Beverly will be bringing things where you can get readings and ask about your purpose. If you're looking to see what your life purpose is, if you don't know what that is right now, she can help you get in tune with that. My portion will be focused on self-care, getting to know yourself, self-love, and really be getting more attuned with your subconscious. That's what my Just Choose You does. I provide that platform for you to explore your conscious in a confidential manner through casual conversations. Just as we're talking, that's how my questions go. We have general conversations, asking you pertinent questions, doing some evaluations, and putting those evaluations into an action plan.
Wow, awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for sharing all of that with our listeners, and we will definitely be on the lookout for everything that you have coming forward along with Beverly Holloway, your partner in creativity, via your social media connections, via Facebook, and also your website. And then finally, before we close, what do you do personally for your own health and wellness? What types of things do you do to maintain that balance of health and wellness? Now we're talking about what types of foods and physical activity. What is your thing for health and wellness?
As the people that know me, I just got out of the hospital because I have not been doing what I am supposed to be doing, Beverly.
Well,
I'm fresh out of the hospital for a week. Yes, ma'am, I'm fresh out of the hospital. But on a normal basis, on a regular basis, as far as my self-care is concerned, I am an avid, strong believer, pusher, and junkie for meditation. If you take the time to just, I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, you have to take the time and reconnect with yourself some point in the day. I don't care if you do it in the morning. I don't care if you do it in the afternoon. I don't care if you do it for 5 minutes at your desk at work. But meditation and just taking a moment to be in that moment and breathe in that moment is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That gives your brain a split second to reset. It gives your body a second to reset. So I meditate at some point during the day for at least 10 minutes, as far as my diet is concerned, I am 80% plant-based, 20% I eat whatever it is that I want to eat. I'm a firm believer in there is no cookie cutter for everyone. So learn your body, learn what your body likes and what keeps your body healthy, and keep going with that. I am a hiker, although it is 100 and 1,000 degrees out here in Arizona. I love to hike. These mountains are beautiful.
Right.
This thing that I have here is amazing to the earth, and I love it. So I get out and go hiking on Saturday mornings as often as I can. I walk in the evening. I'm always walking. I'll walk to the grocery store in a heartbeat to put some money on my little SRP box. But walking and just getting out, even if it's just for 10 to 15 minutes, just do something and move around. I have a circulation and a blood clot issue, so this is something that I've had to pay more attention to even closely within the past couple of weeks or so. So I've been on myself a great deal, but my basic self-care, meditation, definitely meditation. You have to take the time out to do that and get back in touch with yourself and be in that moment with yourself.
Amen, amen. And I, you know, I agree with you. I do meditate. I work out. I exercise. I eat very nutritiously. I'm an advocate for health and wellness via Gumbo for the Soul, an advocate for literacy as well. And so I want to thank you so very much for being here. It is now the top of the next hour, and we are going to close the show. And so thank you once again for tuning in to The Woman at the Well. You can find The Woman at the Well on Twitter at the number one sign, the word woman, at using the T from at, continue to spell the. So there's only one T between at and the. So the number one, woman at the well on Twitter. You can also find me, the parent company, on Twitter at Gumbo for the Soul. Also, Tribe Family Channel is on Facebook, facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. And our studio page, please follow it, is blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Gumbo for the Soul International is our family brand company. And we want to thank you once again, Janelle, for sponsoring this season.
Thank you.
This episode. It's my pleasure. Thank you for sponsoring this episode of The Woman at the Well. And we are going to reschedule another time so Beverly Holloway can as well come on here. And I also want to do that before the debut of your show together, Choosing Inspiration, on July 19th. So have a very, very blessed day. You know, we could go on and talk another half hour if we wanted to, but time does fly. And I want to thank you once again for being here on The Woman at the Well. Visit our sponsor, geniusiscommon.com, and also the sponsor of this particular episode, choosingme.com, sponsored by Janelle Finney. Janelle, be blessed, sis, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Yes, sis. Thank you so much. Love and light, everybody. Have a good one.
Love and light and peace. God bless. Good night.
Good night.